of Text.
Welcome, Avenians, Pythonistas, developers, one and all, to the Titans of Text podcast. We are your hosts, Eric Ostrich.
And Danny Austerity Nissenfeld.
We have with us Griach, the veritable Athena of the Mud world. Griach is the lead developer of one of, if not the most well-known, Mud platforms, Avenia, as well as an accomplished artist and illustrator. It's going to be a technical episode this week as we dive into the code base he's working on, why Python was chosen for it, and some of the ins and outs of Avenia itself. Welcome to you, Griach.
Thank you.
Hal, let's start with you a little bit before we get into Avenia. How did you get into the text gaming universe?
So I am an old school tabletop role player originally, and I was basically running out of real live people to play role playing games with, and was looking online, and I did some forum-based role-playing and stuff like that, and eventually I came upon MUDs. So I'm actually relatively new to the MUD world, at least by comparison to most in, active in it. I found my first MUD maybe 2008 or something like that, so pretty late. It's not a matter of having some sort of sentimental feel for it or anything like that. I just find that as a role player, I find that MUDs represent some of the best role playing you can get online. So that was my original input. Then I am also a developer. I'm an astrophysicist by training, and I use Python a lot in that. So this is my entry from that end, so to speak.
What led to wanting to work on primarily a platform for other people to make games with, as opposed to making a game yourself?
So originally, I was looking around for existing platforms. And I, as I said, I used Python in my science, and I certainly did not want to use C or Fortran, for that matter, which is what I use a lot. I do not want to use Fortran to make a game. So I wanted to use Python of some sort. So I looked around. Now, to be fair, this was 10 years or more ago. So I, at the time at least, the Python stuff available for making text games was pretty much abandonware, much of it at least. There was something called Naked Mud, which still exists, which I looked into, and it's a C code base, but which you extend with Python. And I looked at that, and it's very nice. But I found that at least at the time, I had to make the changes I wanted to make for making the type of games I was interested in. I felt that I would have to go into C eventually, and I did not want that. I wanted to do Python throughout. A short while, I was toying with a code base called PyMoo, which is a moo in Python. So moo is a separate type of in soft code language that you code on top of the game, and you can code things in this moo language. And I toyed with that and cleaned up the code a bit for this program, which people had not used for a while. And I did that, and then I realized I was making a soft code language or a scripting language in Python, which is the ultimate scripting language. So I that made no sense. So I eventually stumbled upon Avenia, which is a fully Python. Avenia is something created originally by an American named Greg Taylor back in 2006 or so, and mainly as an experimental thing. And Greg, we worked together a bit, then I contributed, and eventually he moved on to other things, and I took over development of Avenia in 2010. So to answer your question here, of course, originally I had grand plans, like everyone does, to make a next big great game, but eventually I more got into the back-end development and the server development of things, and found that I spend most of my time and enjoying my time actually creating the underpinning of a game rather than actually making the game. And this is where I'm at today. So I don't know if I will eventually use my own work here to make a game with it myself. But at the moment, I'm just having too much fun just developing and working on the backend stuff.
Yeah, that sounds very familiar. Danny and I both joke about in the Mudcoders Guild how we're just making web admins. So what can a person brand new to Evenia expect in their initial setup?
So Evenia is a Python program, as I said, and it's supported on Linux and on Mac and on Windows. And there is extensive documentation and installation instructions for all of these. You need the Git version control system because we distribute this over GitHub, and you need some terminal console knowledge to run the server. But overall, once you get the Python code and you get it installed, you will run it, and that will, so Evenia will work as a sort of a library and server in one. And that means that when you start it, you will enter the Evenia command, and then you will do Evenia init. And when you do that, the system will create an empty game folder for you, named whatever you want. And that folder contains templates, you could say, empty templates that hold everything you need to expand on. Because Evenia is completely customized and modified by you writing Python modules and just importing Evenia as a library and using those resources. So once you have created that game folder, which you don't have to modify at all to get the whole thing going, you just CD into that game folder and then you run Evenia start. And you will get to answer some questions to create your first super user. And after that, the server will be up and running. And at that point, you can telnet into the server normally, you know, on localhost port 4000, or you can go to your web browser and connect to localhost 4001. And there you have a website for your game. And you can click on a link there and you get a web client, an HTML5 web client, where you can connect to your game and play directly in your browser. And that web browser, the web client, it looks, it mimics the Telnet interface, but it's not a Telnet client at all. It's a WebSocket client using JSON for communication with the back server. At that point, what you have when you log in is that you have a very empty game. You have one room and you have lots of default administration type commands. But not much in the sense of game systems, such as races or combat systems or stats or experience and things like that. So the basic idea of Evenia is we handle everything, all the boring stuff that you have to have in a multiplayer game. And we offer library resources for creating the cool stuff that which you envision for your particular game. So that's the basic premise of Evenia. We do have contributions, so a contrib folder that comes with the system that you can use for activating and adding more game-specific stuff that the community has contributed. But that's completely optional, that you don't have to use that, and many people that come to the community have grand plans for their own games, and they really want to make something very custom, and they can do that in Evenia because they can modify pretty much everything out of the box.
So is there, there's a lot of code bases out there, a lot of very old code bases in C, hopefully not in Fortran. I don't think there are any of those.
I really hope not.
Why would someone pick Evenia other than, say, they want to get into Python? What makes Evenia different? Not necessarily than, I don't know, downloading stock Deku or Circle off of an FTP somewhere, but of any of the clients, really. What makes Evenia worth using?
First of all, you should not underestimate the power of Python in this, because we have a not insignificant amount of people coming into Evenia specifically because they want to learn Python. And we have so we have people really learning Python from scratch to being real Pythonistas in Evenia. And that has happened over the years, and they are still active in the community very much. We have people who have gotten jobs from working with the Venya, for example, for this reason. So you should not underestimate that, because Python, compared to something like C, it is very, very fast to prototype and develop in. And it's also comparably easy to learn, I would argue, also, even for someone who is do not have any or very limited programming experience. That's an important point. Now, Evenia is focusing on this bare-bone aspect, and you can argue that this is an advantage or a disadvantage, because if you want the particular game style that Adiku offers, for example, you really want the kind of stock stuff that comes with Adiku, okay, then maybe Adiku is exactly what you want, because you get all the stuff out of the box in there. Evenia does not offer that. On the other hand, for a different type of developer who has a different type of goal, then not having to tear out the specific types of game systems that, you know, we try to enforce upon you in that case, is seen as an advantage. And since the code is written throughout in the same language that you scripted in, it means you can really modify everything to your satisfaction. And not to forget also that Python, of course, has a vast infrastructure and ecosystem of third-party libraries doing pretty much everything you may want to do. And Python is really excelling in text manipulation, for example, which is a good thing for a text-based game. Now, Evenia itself has several quite interesting technical aspects to it. But you might cover those as we go on, because that can cover a lot of ground in one go.
So let's just jump straight into that. If you want to talk us through any of that, the technical stuff of Evenia.
Evenia is an asynchronous server. That means that it is not thread-based. So we are not using threads to get parallelism in the system. It's all running in one process using a synchronous I/O. And the how this works is that technically it is like you're executing code sequentially, but you're chopping up that code and quickly rotating execution between different users. So it looks to the user like everyone is operating at the same time, but in practice, it's actually all working in the same stack. So it's actually sequential code. This has some tremendous advantages in the sense that there are no race conditions. There can be no race conditions, no weird timing problems with this system. It's all extremely clear what happens in which order. Drawback is, of course, that you don't take full advantage of multiple processors and things like that. And this is overall a limit of Python as well. To be honest, it's not really a big issue, I feel, for a text-based game overall, because it's not, in average, very demanding of a modern system. Then we have several systems which are interesting, in that we are using a database. Evenia is based on Django, which is sort of like Ruby on Rails, but for Python. So a web framework. This is what both handles all our web presence, but it's also acting as the ORM for the database. So you never need to deal with SQL. Everything is done in Python. What happens is that we leverage some aspects of Django with our own solution that allows you to, as a developer, create a Python class, a normal Python class inheriting from an Evenia parent. And when you do that and you create an instance of that class, then you will automatically create a new row in the database. And that happens for you automatically. So all you are doing as a game developer is instantiate classes, all in code. And magically under the hood, we handle all the database creation for you. Now, of course, you can go down to the database if you know what you're doing. You can do direct queries, etc. But you don't have to do that when you're starting out, and for most kind of tasks that you may want to do. You have another aspect. So we separate between accounts and characters. Characters are objects like any other thing in the world, and accounts are is a representation of your connection, of your persona, your the player. So the account holds information like your email, connection information, banning information, things like that. But that always puppets a character, which is the representation in the world. So this is always how the interaction works. And Evandia has multiple modes for how to represent this connection. So the simplest connection mimics the Deku one, or the traditional web solutions, where you connect, you log into the game, and that login is your character and everything. All the way up to multi-puppeting modes, where you can connect to the game, and then you can connect and puppet multiple characters at the same time for multiple clients, and even multiple characters per client. But by default, it mimics the traditional mod of just logging in and having a direct connection. It includes by default something like 90 default commands, which are probably vaguely MUX-like in style, which has more to do with the original developer or creator of Evandia coming from the Battle MUX world. But there is nothing that forces you to use these types of command syntaxes. You can change that at will to whatever you want, to mimic whatever other code base you want to use, or just make up your own syntax. Commands overall are organized in something called command sets. So a command is a class in Evandia. It's an object. And a command set is a grouping of commands. So what happens is that a command set sits on an object, and the most common ones are the ones that sit on a character object. That gives you access to commands like look and get and inventory and things like that. But you can also have command sets that sit on the account, so you have them available at all times. Or you can have them set on a room so that they are available to everyone in the room, or on an object like a button you want to push. And the interesting thing with command sets is that they are working like mathematical sets. So they can be combined in unions, and they can replace each other. And the classic example in the Evandia documentation for this is the dark room. So what happens in a dark room, how you implement that in Evandia, is that a user enters the room, and a new command set is added. The dark room command set is added to them. So they are using that. The command set in the room simply has a higher priority than the command set on the character, and it overrides the commands on that character temporarily. For example, when they enter look, they will get the dark room's version of look, which tells it it's a dark room and you need to have some sort of light source to see it. But it could also affect other things. Maybe you cannot look at your inventory anymore because it's dark. Maybe you can't have it's a random chance that you draw the wrong potion from your backpack, things like that. And of course, you could do this kind of effects by a lot of if statements in your command. But using command sets, it's automatically cleaning up after itself, because when you leave the room, that dark room command set just goes away, and the old one you had before comes back, and your normal version of look and inventory and potion or whatever gets back to the old one. So in this sense, this makes for, you can create very powerful effects and very powerful states. And this type of system also means that you can implement things like in-game menus and all sorts of things like NPC communication, all in commands. You don't have to make a custom new system for any of this stuff. Everything can be implemented with commands and command sets, and it is also done this way. You have full systems for menus, even the inbuilt Vim-like game editor, which comes out of the box. So there's no need for any custom code beyond just creating commands. Otherwise, as I said, the there are very few actual game systems. You get concepts like rooms and containers, things inside other things. You get something like dozen normal default in-game commands, like look and get and give. So just to have a minimum kind of interaction. But most of the commands available from the onset are building commands. So building, digging, destroying things, banning things, and configuring your connection and stuff like that. So that's the some of the aspects of this. But you can expand all of these. There are people that have made coordinate systems rather than room-based systems. We even have a developer that is using Avenia to make a traditional roguelike with a custom web client that makes you move around as an ampersand or an at sign, you know, the Moria or Rogue style of overview as you move around. So that's still experimental, but it shows the kind of things you can do with it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I also like that you guys picked the correct Vim editing mode.
Of course.
Yeah, so this week we're going to do something a little bit different. Give a shout out to Tark and the Stick in the Mud podcast. Each week you can listen to Tark as he ponders issues facing MUDs and their players. You can find his podcast at stickinthemudpodcast.com.
Are there any good anecdotes or like one good anecdote or story that came out of developing Avienna when you took it over through today? Pick the juiciest one to regale the listeners with.
So overall, I must say that the community of Avienna is very friendly. And it's not very juicy, but my personally, my sort of biggest sort of happy moment in development was when, I mean, we have this IRC channel for communication and also forums for asking people asking questions and things like that. I think my personally most happy moment was when I realized that I didn't have to answer the questions, every question anymore. And people were actually understanding the code and were able to answer as well, and were willing to and happy to help newcomers answer as well. That was a very, very happy moment for me. I think the moment I asked Greg Taylor, the original creator of Avienna, where the name Avienna actually came from, because it's pretty weird, right? It doesn't relate to MUDs per se, and it doesn't relate to Python that I know of. So I thought maybe this is this, you know, very clever, you know, idea behind this thing. And he explained to me, no, Avienna is the name of a very cheesy NPC in the game Guild Wars, Guild Wars 1 today. And it has absolutely nothing to do with anything. And I was so disappointed because it's a typical example of this experimental little project needing a name, and he just grabbed the first name because he played Guild Wars at the time. I never even played it myself. And that happened to be the project that stuck. And today, I mean, we can't really change the name. I think it has quite a lot of name recognition. But I remember that was really annoying when I found out the name, where it came from.
That's pretty great. Sort of like against Python projects to not have Pi somewhere in the name, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could have been PyMud or PyMu or whatever, right? Yeah. But no, that was Avienna it was.
All right. So wrapping up the episode, are there any other shout outs that you'd like to give to different MUD projects?
So yeah, sure. There is a more mush specific code base called Aris Mush, developed by a lone developer primarily, I think. But she's doing a good job of this. It's actually written in Ruby. but focuses specifically on the mush style world of things. So Evenia, by comparison, is actually aimed at all the different genres of mewing, of so not only muds, but mucks or mush or muck, etc. There are all of these different genres that partly interact and partly do not want anything to do with each other. So that's a shout out to her to working on that. And also, it's not a server, but I think the Mudlet client would be good to make a shout out to, because we have had a lot of interactions dealing with the various telnet weirdnesses that has happened in the mud world over time, because there are no standards. The only standards available for how a mud should communicate over telnet tends to be pretty vague. There are a few exceptions, but most of the time it's difficult to find out what a standard should be. And often it's just whatever style the most popular games are using at the moment. So Mudlet has worked with us a bit and also fixed a lot of discrepancies between in the protocol.
I'd like to thank you for coming out to the podcast. It will be a treat for all of the listeners. We haven't really done a technical dive as of yet. It's mostly been about the building and the design. And I think a lot of people enjoy this. And do you have any tips for anyone that wants to make their own code base or their own platform, start from something that's not out there yet?
I think it's important to remember who your target audience is. So you need to make sure to document everything rigorously if you're making a code base. And I find that most, or at least many, code bases that I've looked at do not document anything at all. They have some comments maybe in the code, but they expect everyone to just understand what was being said. Documentation often lags dramatically behind. So that's something to keep in mind if you were aiming to make your own code base. Otherwise, I would say that you should only make your own code base if you're more interested in making a code base than you are in making a game. Because if you think making a game will take a lot of time and effort, I can tell you that making a whole code base from scratch and then make a game on top of that will take even longer.
Thanks once again for coming out for the Titans of Text podcast.
Thank you.
See you in 2 weeks, everybody.
Titans of Text podcast. Everybody knows her name, and we're always